the preaching ministry of Redeemer Fellowship in Eugene, Oregon. And now, here's today's message from God's Word.
Respis post te hominem te esse momento, momento mori. So that's an old common Roman Latin phrase. It means look behind. Remember you are mortal. Remember you die. Merry Christmas. I don't say this unnecessarily to provoke. I am well aware there are a strange number of deaths around this time of year. Well aware of that. And so for some of you, the Advent season can be really, really difficult. Almost like you hear the echoes from beyond of your loved ones in all the sentimentalities of Christmas. You miss your sister whenever you drink a hot chocolate with marshmallows in it. You can feel the warmth of your husband in a well-stoked fire. You can see a friend's smile in the Christmas lights and hear the laughter of your wife with chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And from your heart arises both this strange enjoyment of that sentimental thing and an ache in the Advent season. It both exists at the same time. That is the constant echo of separation and death. And you just have to know that to feel this way during this Christmas or Advent season, you're not in the wrong. You're not in the wrong to miss them. It's not bad to feel grief in death and separation. Jesus felt that. And in fact, though it would be hard and a more real pain than most pleasures, it's good to feel this way. From it, you are able to mine the depths of reality and truly see the things that are above. Through those things, you're able to see with more clarity the richness of who Jesus is. And you're able to look at the Advent season for what it really is about, life and death. So in this Advent story that we're walking through, we started last week in a garden, and now we move into another garden where our hero of this story, he weeps with a similar grief. And his tears drop like blood to water this garden, where our hero himself would be taken out of the garden and he would be put on a tree and he would be condemned to die. This is what we hear in the echoes of Advent. This is where we look at and we set our eyes in the Advent season. This is where our eyes are directed among the things of earth, the wrapping paper and the Christmas tree and the presents. But we see through them to the things that are above. God in his word instructs us this very morning in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, that we are to set our eyes there. So you can turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and we will look with where the Lord directs us to look this morning. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears or comes, then you also will appear with him in glory. We saw last week that our lives are shaped by story. We need story in order to make sense of our lives, of our own stories. And you each have one. And furthermore, we need to understand this big story throughout all of humanity, this overarching story of who we are as mankind. What are our desires and wants? And we need that story to understand how our stories fit into that big story and make sense of our lives. And so we began last week by looking at the origin, called it the origin Advent story. We began in a garden, the Garden of Eden. It was a story of blessing and then of loss. A story of union with God and one another and then separation from God and one another. It was a story of being home and then being exiled, homeless. A story of death reigning through the one man. A story of darkness overshadowing all of humanity through all of time, where it seemed that everything had been lost. But then, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Hebrew, God is with us. God has now come to us. And we've been searching for a place to call home and working our way up in our own efforts to get back to him. We could not do it, so he came to us. And the hero entered the story. Jesus is here. Blessing came. Fellowship restored with God and one another. Home was found. And life came into a dying world. And Jesus would then stand in our place. Jesus was perfect. The perfect representative for humankind. He would live the obedient life that every single one of us should have lived. He would perfectly submit to God as every one of us should have perfectly submitted to God. He would endure every single temptation all the way through, where we should have endured all the way through but have failed. And then Jesus would enter another garden. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 39. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." From this garden, Jesus was sorrowful to death. "Let this cup of your wrath, O Father, pass, if it is at all possible." But him being perfectly submissive to his Father, he knew what it would take. He knew the cost to bring you and I home. "Yet it's not what I want, Father, whatever you want." And so Jesus would be taken out of this garden. He would be condemned as we should have been condemned. He would be stripped naked, just as our souls were stripped naked and we bore a shame. And Jesus would be nailed to the cross. Jesus would die just as we should have died. and he would bear every single one of your sins and bury all of your guilt when he died and was buried. That is the story of Advent. And we hear God's voice echo this good news to us this morning. In our text in Colossians, the echo of Advent resounds into our individual stories in the here and the now in three ways. We hear the echo, you have died. We hear the echo, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And we hear the echo, you will appear with him in glory. Now look at the tense of those verbs, because it very much is telling a story. This is our story. There's a past reality. A story, you died. A story with a present reality. You are hidden with Christ in God. And a story with a future reality. You will appear with him in glory. This morning, I want to focus on the first aspect of our stories by looking up to the great realities that God holds before us and set our minds on this past reality. When Jesus died, you died. Past tense. When he died, you died. Now I just thought here, I imagine there's some of you that think, why is he focusing so much on death at Christmas time? Advent isn't about death. Or is it? It is a good thing to consider our death. Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than it is to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Or put in my own words, it's better to go to a funeral than it is a comedy club. And why is that? That doesn't sound very Christmassy. You don't see that on a Christmas card. No, it doesn't sound Christmassy, because the truth is not always sentimental, but it is always good. It's good to consider the casket, because what you will see when you go to a funeral and you look down into the casket is the reminder that I'm going to be there one day. That is the consequence of the one man's sin. We saw that last week. Separation, death. And this speaks to the real stuff of our stories. The real pains and the real delights, the real grief and the real joys. I know we don't like thinking about death, but it will be no benefit for you and I to evade the sting in the echo of Eden. It was said that Alexander the Great's father, his name was Philip, he paid a servant to stand in front of him every single day and say, Philip, you will die. And you think, why in the world would someone pay someone to say that to anyone every single day? I just think this is quite the different mindset that we have in our culture. We as a culture, we don't like to talk about death. We don't like to think about death. In more recent years, we can just observe this in how we talk about death. We try to insulate and pad ourselves from the reality of death just in simple ways, like calling death passing away, or calling cemeteries memorial parks, or funerals as celebrations of life. We don't know how to look at death. We don't know how to consider the casket. And a big reason is because we are so uncertain of the past, present, and future realities at play. What will happen to me when I die? You ever ask that? Or here's another one. Am I going to heaven? Am I going to hell? Is there nothing? Which one am I going to, if anything at all? I would rather not think about those questions. And so we cower in fear and we avoid thinking about this reality that we all will face. And we must look at it. You see, this Advent season, it goes beyond Christmas trees and Frosty the snowman and Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. This reality of death moves us into a deeper pain and a deeper loss and a deeper longing, a longing for a fuller joy and a more permanent home. And if we look up to the things that are above, what we will see is that death, as loud as its word seems, did not have the final say. In Advent, we look down into the cradle, and yes, we will then look up to the cross. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. John 3:14. Advent means that we must look also at one man's death so that beyond it and through it, we would look up to the crown and see that Jesus has risen from the dead. See him as living, as reigning at the right hand of God right now, presently, in this world. He is risen indeed. And so in that reality, we move from a garden to another garden, and then 3 days later, we hear the echo of eternal life. He is not here, for he is risen. Our hero would die, but our hero would rise again. And now in our stories, we by faith rise with him. A real resurrection. Our hero would be stripped naked, but in our stories, by faith, we're clothed in his perfect, righteous life. Our hero would be condemned in guilt, but in our stories, by faith, we stand before God as guiltless, because he buried my guilt in the ground. The echo of Advent. In the words of C.S. Lewis, the Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. Welcome home into God's family. Galatians 4:4-5, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The advent of Christ echoes this invitation. He invites you now to seek the things that are above during this Christmas season, an invitation to set your minds on the things that are above, to look upward and see our hero risen this very morning, seated at the right hand of God as the hero who has slain the dragon. He has rescued his girl and brought her back home. The echo of the Advent story is an invitation to you to look up to the spiritual realities and take hold of the substance that lies within each one of your stories. This is the real thing, the real stuff. The Christmas story is more than a story of a baby in a manger. It's more than a story of a star in the sky. It's more than a story about magi shepherds, as though these were just historical facts or maybe even a myth. It's the story that answers the big questions that you all have of the why and the what of reality, of your existence. Why am I here? What's my purpose? What was I created for? There must be something more than this. This is an invitation in your stories into true life. Advent is an invitation in your stories to true death. Our passage says, set your minds upon the things above. Why? He answers that. Because you died. Because you died. And the phrase things above refers to spiritual realities. I call it the real stuff, the substance of life. Looking to the things above means that you have this understanding that when Jesus died in a very real way, you also died. Obviously, this is not in the physical sense or in the earthly sense, but it's a spiritual sense and it's very, very real. There is an old you, your old identity, your old nature, your old desires, your old wants. And that old you, when the eyes of your heart were opened and you saw Jesus, and you saw him for who he was, and it wasn't just that you saw him and you were irresistibly drawn to him, to come to him, at his invitation to come, and you came and you followed. What happened was you died. You died, and he, that old nature, no longer exists. She no longer exists. So you think of the old you that sought the approval of people, the old you that was always clamoring for someone to make much of you, that old you that thought, I need this in order to be happy. The old you that's trying to make a name for yourself, that sought to feel some sense of identity in your looks, in career, in wealth, in status, that old you died. And you believed. The old you that lusted after the things of earth as though they could bring you any lasting happiness and joy, as though they could fill the emptiness that was you felt inside, as though it could bring you to that place that would resemble a true home. That old you that was looking for those things, that died when Christ died. And this might be even so a more important reason to go to a funeral. Looking at death and all the horrors of separation, this gap that's so great, there's no coming back. It is a reminder that the old you and the old me also died and is no longer coming back. The old you is forever separated from the new real you that Christ raised up. Keep your eyes on his death and your death this Advent season, and do not be swept up in the trivialities of Christmas in place of the eternal things. We're going to talk about this more next week as we look at what it means in the present to be hidden with Christ in God. and not set our minds on the things of earth. But for now, just let this Advent season echo Christ's life, death, and resurrection and power into your lives. Let the echo of Advent echo your death and your resurrection, and live in this resounding truth that you have been made new, and one day Christ will appear again and he will make everything new, including your bodies. I notice all the older people say amen because our bodies hurt. Our bodies die. We lose loved ones to sickness. And he will restore it. And he will raise you up on the last day. Having your eyes set here in this Advent season will be the means of this beautiful song truly arising in our heart. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. There's a story from an old preacher named John Stott. And he tells about a certain man whose attention is on the wrong things constantly. And he says this: I read some years ago of a young man who found a $5 bill on the street and who from that time on never lifted his eyes, even when walking. In the course of years, he accumulated 29,516 buttons, 54,172 pins, 12 cents, a bent back, and a miserly disposition. But think of what he lost. He couldn't see the radiance of the sunlight, the sheen of the stars, the smile on the face of his friends, or the blossoms of the springtime, for his eyes were in the gutter. There are too many Christians like that. We have important duties on earth, but we must never allow them to preoccupy us in such a way that we forget who we are or where we are going. The story is not over, and in many ways, it's only just begun. Your story has only just begun. And for some of you, we're really at the beginning. And we may hear, approaching the next chapter of our lives, some of us, we may hear death raise its voice, respis poste, hominem te esse, momento, momento mori. Look behind, remember you are mortal, remember you die. We stand before God and his word this morning and hear his voice thunder from the cross. It is finished. And a new chapter has begun for you. Your story is not over. And maybe for some, the story really hasn't even begun at all. You haven't died, and so you haven't truly lived. You have not believed, you have not looked upon Christ and what he has done. And this Advent story is God's invitation to you to come into the real story. He invites, come. In the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, look up. Your redemption is drawing near. Something different from what you see daily will happen. Just be aware. Be watchful. Wait just another short moment. Wait, and something quite new will break over you. God will come.
We trust today's message has ministered to your soul. If you would like to support the ministry of Redeemer Fellowship, you can find us at www.redeemereugene.org/give. Or if you prefer, you can mail your donation to Redeemer Fellowship, 1210 Chambers Street, Eugene, Oregon, 97402. Until next time, may you be deliberately devoted to making Christ known.